Welcome to the Claims Game Podcast with Vince Perry. Get all the tips you need from insurance claim advocates and professionals and grow your public adjusting career to the next level. And now the commercial claims advocate, Vince Perry.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Claims Game Podcast. As I told you before, we are going to start doing these live now. Every once in a while, maybe we'll do it virtual, but I really want to get into the weeds with these people that not only do I do business with, but a lot of them, they've become friends of mine. And I want to know, and I want you to know more about their background, their story, and really about some of the amazing things they're doing, some of the amazing services that they're providing. And today I've got someone who's becoming a close personal friend at this moment. It's Andrew Perez. So I want to introduce you to Andrew Perez. Andrew is the owner of Turbo Workforce. And in my opinion, this is one of the most fascinating services and ideas that's coming into our industry. And I'm not just saying that because he's in front of me. I've used virtual assistants now for the last 5 years or so. So I have a good understanding, but Andrew's taken it to the next level. And I've had this idea in the past to do what you're doing. It's basically just once you get used to and you get really good at the recruiting process, basically he's turned it into a business. And my favorite part, which I tell him all the time, is he's a public adjuster. So he knows about the pain, about the stresses, and about the process of what goes through an entire insurance claim on our end as public adjusters. And he's providing virtual assistance for you as a one-man shop, right? If you're just a one-person shop, like you need somebody to help you. Or if you're a larger firm, larger company, and maybe you can't afford to have all local people here at your local office, and maybe you need to save a little bit of money and have somebody virtual, I mean, this is the way to go. So Andrew, thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, bro. I'm super excited. Thank you so much. I can't wait to get into the weeds of what we got going on here today. It's definitely changing lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's changing your life too.
Changing my life, absolutely. But there's been some millionaires out of the whole system and everything, and I'm super excited. It's always about helping in a way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once we're able to help others and help ourselves at the same time, hey, why not, right?
Right, right. So, Andrew, first tell me a little bit about, first tell me about your background. I've already said, told everyone that you are a public adjuster. But tell me a little bit more about you and what, you know, tell me about what you're all about.
Absolutely. So, Andrew Perez, Venezuelan is where I'm from. I love being in the States because it definitely gives you all that perspective of opportunities. Mm-hmm. One of the opportunities that came to me as I was in my career of sales, it was being a public adjuster. So I was introduced into the business and I was introduced into everything that's going on. I had no idea that even when I was becoming a public adjuster, that there was insurance adjusters.
Yeah.
Was that a thing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's not only insurance adjusters, there's actually a thing that exists that will pay for damage that's caused to your home or property, which is already something people don't even know about.
Okay. You see, there's some nuggets in there. So yeah, I became a public adjuster. 2016 is when I really started. I got my fully licensed 2017. So it's been great since then. Obviously, we've had a lot of things that has happened through Florida, but then all around the United States, there's always problems when it comes to like dealing with property insurance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something that we learn as we go.
Right.
So, you know, I've been an adjuster since then. Obviously, I saw a lot of the problems that were being had. I had already a team of VAs assigned to some of the different things that I was doing back in those days. But I saw there was a lot of problems in this world in the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. And a lot of processes and a lot of people not picking up their phone. So I was able to really figure a couple of things out with the system that I had in place, and I really pretty much just moved my whole team. So any of the teams that I had as a VA, I assigned them into my public adjusting life. And from there, you know, I haven't looked back. I've been able to, you know, definitely take some firms into millions of dollars. And then it's sort of like a proven system now, where obviously it's been able to show for itself what it can do, and it's super interesting.
Okay, so first, I do want to get into some of the things that you can do and some of the things that you can provide, and I really want to get into some of your specialties, but you said you've been a public adjuster since 2016, so you've got some experience in public adjusting. Tell me, though, how this all started in regards to you getting your first virtual assistant, and then the story you told me was people in the office were sort of looking at you like, whoa, wait, this guy's got all this help. He's not doing it all by himself. And they sort of wanted you to help them. sort of copy what you're doing. Like how, tell me, start from there.
It all started with estimates. Okay. There's a couple of bottlenecks that you have in your business when it comes to public adjusting and everything, right? Some of them, one of them mainly, it's gonna be the estimates process. And that part was my first thing to figure out. I literally spent about 2 weeks every day for like 3 hours from like 12 at night to like 3 a.m. because I was literally knocking on doors every day.
And, then you had to write the estimates at night.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was—
Were you writing your own estimates?
Yeah, coming back home with a stack of files and just putting everything manually back into one, each one. So, we were able to automate that. I was able to automate that. Literally took my time to do them, train, get somebody plugged into a system that understood everything that was going on, allow them for access for anything that, that they needed at the point.
So did you find somebody who knew how to use Xactimate and put up estimates? Was it Xactimate? Maybe it wasn't. Or did you train them and teach them how to put an estimate together based on your scope?
Yeah, so we've used different softwares all around.
Okay.
It didn't start with Xactimate.
Okay.
And no, I've always, for one reason or another, this could be good or this could be bad, but I've always preferred people that have no idea what's going on. people, pretty much taking people from scratch, really, at that point. And I, none of my VAs has ever had any experience from the moment that they met me with any type of insurance or anything like that. Maybe at some point, somebody from a different office was like, hey, I don't want to handle this person anymore. Can you do that? And then they might be a little bit trained in something.
Yeah.
But that has happened probably like twice.
Okay.
It's not something that usually happens. I do prefer people from fresh, from start. Like they don't know anything. Because then obviously, you know, you want to make sure you portray all the good things and good habits.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's already some bad habits involved into a process, it's going to be hard to take them on.
Right.
So no, I mean, it was literally just me 2 weeks every day, just teaching them and coaching them. Obviously, estimates, it's not a training that you finish ever.
Right, right.
You know, to really understand the fundamentals and to build an estimate for you, if you spend with somebody every day, literally 2 weeks, you can kind of get them there, but it's all experience.
Yeah.
And now this one person VA that has been with us from the get-go, she's still with us today.
Wow.
Amazing person.
Where's she from?
From the Philippines. She's a physical from the Philippines.
That's awesome.
She manages the whole estimating process there. So
okay,
it's amazing. She's still with us and she's one of the most
reliable. How many years has she been with you?
She's been with us pretty much since I've been an adjuster. So if I was 8,
wow,
it took me a year to start our own thing. So it's been 7 years.
That says a lot about you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I hope it's a good thing.
That's a great thing. I mean, if not, she would have moved on to somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. No, it's a great team in general. You know, I do have support from the office as well. You know, people showing up and actually doing the work that they say that they're going to do.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, being on the back end and being able to train and being able to maintain that.
Yeah.
That's really where my focus has been.
So it started with you being, it always starts with being overloaded with somebody, with something, and then giving it off, right? They call it the 80-20 rule. Once you are just doing 80% of the things, you need to, you only want to be doing 20%, so you have to give off 80%. If 80% of your workload is one or two particular things, it's time to give that off. And in this case, it was estimating. But then the way this all started to grow was people in your office started to see you with virtual assistants and freeing up your time, right? Mm. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, there was people that I would say they would have not even become a public adjuster if they would have not had the support in the system that this whole structure was able to provide. But it did show the opportunity, it did facilitate a lot of the back end process, because we can be really good at acquisition and getting claims all day, every day. And that's an amazing thing. You get 300, 500 claims, my brother, you're good to go.
But it comes with a cost.
Absolutely.
And I know from experience.
And time. It's really the real.
And customer service. It goes down really, really fast. And then all you're doing is you're mostly just putting out fires. And just like, the worst is when you have a full day of just screaming clients. Unfortunately, I've been there.
It's definitely not something nice.
It sucks.
That's when you start really getting the motivated and you stop picking up calls.
Mm-hmm.
You stop really not sure what you're supposed
hating
to do with
job.
The claims. Right, exactly. Hating your job literally.
Yeah.
There is a lot of ways to make money in the world. None of them are going to be easy for the ones that are really make you something solid that's going to last forever in a manner.
Yeah.
You know, and there is ways to that it could be done to public adjusting, but you have to have a good foundation and a good workflow. And that's really what's missing. A lot of people are missing that.
Tell me about what does a successful foundation and workflow look like to you?
Interesting. There's different steps for sure.
That's a loaded question. You want me to get more specific?
Well, let me answer in a general way.
Okay.
I think we can get more specific. I mean, if I had to break it down, there's 7 to 6 steps depending on how you do what you do in the office. In a public adjusting office from A to C. Mm-hmm. I break it down in 7 to 6 steps, right? If any of those steps, intake, building an estimate, negotiation, mediation, appraisal, litigation, if any of these steps doesn't have a workflow, you're gonna get stuck in each and every one of them.
So you're saying the general workflow is the 7 steps, and there's a workflow within each of those steps as well.
Inception workflows.
The workflow within the workflow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
And everyone has one, and there's if statements on each and every one of them. Just because we do deal with the complex processes and workflow with what we do.
That I've always found is not always the same direction every single time.
You can simplify it to certain steps, but there's always going to be something that's going to throw something off that you're going to have to make a decision.
So it's funny because we are talking about something that we're going through right now. Like, we've always put together processes. You can go into my Google Drive of our company and we've got all kinds of processes.
Okay.
It's great, but it's also kind of messy, right? There's just like processes everywhere. I've always stressed putting processes together, but what my wife was explaining to me recently, who we've just actually brought on board to help us,
nice,
is SOPs and workflow and processes, they're all kind of like their own unique different things. So what I feel like you're talking about and what we're talking about is the direction of a claim. So for example, and you correct me if I'm wrong, so you know, how long does it take to go from, let's say, a lead to an actual signed contract? There's different directions, right? There's going to be the phone call and the email you need to send to get maybe certain information so that you could actually do a proper consultation. But if the person doesn't answer, then after like 3 or 4 times, then where does it go? Does it continue to go, or do you put it? Is that what you're talking about? Like in a when you follow up with an insurance claim, if you follow it up 2 or 3 times and you hear no answer, do you continue to follow up, or do you file a complaint?
Do you even have an alarm set up to let you know that it's been 3 days?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That in itself alone is such an important part of the foundation.
Yes.
That it will fail.
Yeah.
You will fail if you don't have even that small alarm set up for that amount of days that you're supposed to follow up that.
Yeah, because then what you do is then you just almost end up becoming just like the insurance company. Or what people always scream and yell about the insurance company is that, claims take forever and they never fall and they never tell me what's going on. And you know, I always tell people, if it's up to the insurance company, they'll let that thing go on forever. But if you start becoming like the insurance company, then that's not good either. What's the purpose of hiring us?
100%. Yeah, I mean, at the end, our goal is to not only push the claim but really take it to the next level and really keep them against the wall to make sure that we actually get an answer. If not, you're almost wasting your time.
So that's the beauty of why I'm so excited to be talking to you, is because not only do you understand systems and processes, not only are you providing a service, you're basically providing virtual assistance to help public adjusters, to help really anyone, not just public adjusters, pretty much any business. But the fact that is, I'm a public adjuster. Most of the people that listen to the show are public adjusters, and you know what we go through. What I want to know more about is, you already know the workflows, you know the SOPs, you know how a claims life goes. I want to talk about the training. I want you to tell me about the training that goes in to your VAs. How many VAs, sorry about that, how many VAs do you have now?
We have currently almost 100 VAs.
Almost 100 VAs that you're providing to how many or so public adjusting firms at the moment?
Public adjusting firms.
Or just companies in general, whatever number is easier for you.
In between adjusting and attorneys and clients that we have dealing with claim management in general, we officially have over 13 now.
That's amazing. Clients.
Yeah, we're aiming to pretty much lock in 20.
Okay, all right.
At this point.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure after this show, there's going to be public adjusters that are going to be reaching out to you pretty fast. So you have about 100 VAs, you have about 15 or so companies that you're working with. So don't get offended. But what I feel is the most important role that you provide is the HR and training portion. Because what I've always struggled with is not only finding the right candidate, but also making sure that they're prepared. Like, we give them assessments, we have to see a resume, we have to do the interviews, we have to train them. Like, you take all that out of it because you do all that in the background, right?
Yes, I do.
Before you even say, hey, Vince, I've got a VA for you, that person's, for the most part, already been trained, right?
Yeah. Yes, I do. And I say that with a painful face.
Okay. Okay. Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, we take all of that out of the shoulders of anybody that has to go through that process. And it's one of our foundations when it comes to what we do. Because if that doesn't work out, we're going to have a problem in the end.
Yeah.
And we've been through it. We've been through where we thought we had like the best person for something and it just wasn't working out, you know? So you never really know 100%, but we do take people through a process where we can definitely identify if this person is ready for getting into the details of things, if this person is ready to really get into the nitty gritty. At this point, we're really hiring people that have probably gone through law school in different parts of the world in general.
Cool.
So that way it's people that have that mentality actually.
Let me go back there. Where are the majority of your VAs from?
So, you know, in general, we look at South America because we would like to have bilingual Spanish and English. So, you know, Venezuela, Argentina, Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, you know, those are some of the countries we're working with right now. We do have a couple of people in Europe. Yep. And we do have people in Asia, in the Philippines as well.
Okay.
So that whole team combined is about 100 people.
So for the most part, they speak English and Spanish?
Yes, I would say so. At least half of the team does.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. Okay.
Most of them are already assigned though, so.
Take me back to the training.
So when it comes
What goes on? Somebody comes on to you, and I'm assuming this is after the hiring process.
Yeah.
They're hired. What's the training like? Because you already told me, so I can't wait for you to share it again.
Yeah, it's amazing. It is one of my favorite parts, honestly, because it does really propel things to move forward in general. And it's usually about a month. And in this month of training, it's really all about claim management. Because in Turbo in general, we deal with companies that have to deal with the claim process specifically. I train everybody from claim management from day one, you know? So they literally go through videos where they have a policy video, literally to just go through it. It's about an hour and a half and they get all the details of all the policies, things that public adjusters sometimes don't even know.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah. Most of them probably. Why do you think I'm successful?
At the end of the day, you know, with that foundation for them, it's important because now they're following up with the claim. They can have genuine conversations with whoever's on the other side about a claim. And even if they might sound a little off when it comes to accent in general, it's all about insurance lingo. Can you talk insurance lingo? Can you talk the insurance language? You know, because it doesn't matter if you have a Hispanic accent, if you have a whatever type of accent, if you can speak insurance, you're going to sell your claim.
Absolutely.
You know, I believe that. So that is part of the first weeks on the training policy that we make sure that people also get involved in what it takes to actually build an estimate and more from the perspective of the PA. So they actually watch a PA do a whole estimate and how do they put that together, the type of questions they ask to the client, to the insurer, so that way they're very familiar with that part of the process. And from there on, it's all about claim management. You know, some people like to add the sworn proof of loss right away. Some people like to do the sworn proof of loss only when it's requested.
Right.
So it kind of breaks down from there. But at the end of the day, through our training, you move into what is called the claim management process. We break that sort of into three steps. But in general, it's being able to follow up with the insurance, have some of the conversations that you are allowed to have with them, and then being able to really push the claim to a decision. And that's the next step.
Okay.
So usually in the training, when it comes to the agent, obviously we understand the decisions that come from being part of a public adjustment firm specifically, whether it's going to be a mediation, appraisal, litigation. But in reality, with the VA, it's very important that they get to that decision. So that way you can actually, obviously, you know what to do with that claim. And from that point, we can move forward the next workflow.
So you train them to the point where they could basically make a decision and advise the PA on what they should do?
So it's funny that you say that. I wouldn't say that was officially our purpose, But it's funny how it works that some of these VAs keep adjusters on point.
Yeah, and they catch on. They understand the whole business. Yeah, so, and it's a very interesting business, too. Everybody that I've talked to from out of the country that gets into it or just even when they get into the weeds of it, they're just like, wow, this is pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's very interesting at the beginning, I think, because there's so many new things.
Yeah.
Once you see that same thing 100 times, you're like, hey, okay, this is not that interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's what we have in VAs. They can do it 100 times or more.
Okay. So to bring us back here, the first month is training. And you say that you basically break it down to policy is sort of the fundamentals. Yeah. So you take them through just an entire video, right? Where they have to watch and train just about policy and how to read through a policy and everything, right?
Yeah, with a book right next to them that has all the information that the video has.
Wow. Okay. And then the next one is?
The next one is building the estimate.
Okay. Tell me about that.
So they also watch another video of a public adjuster going through a house, asking questions to the insurer policyholder. And they really, the point of that is for them to really understand what somebody has to go through to even get the measurements and to get all this documentation to build an estimate, you know? The training of building the estimate is something completely different and really not related to this portion of that training at that point, at least specifically.
Just understanding it's just reading the estimate, understand how it's put together and so on and so forth.
Yeah, the information that you need to actually put the estimate together. What are the questions that come from it?
I like how you're just like, you're giving them such a foundation that whether they end up reviewing estimates or not, it's having them understand it just because it's part of the whole thing.
Yeah, funny enough, some of our VAs go through the whole training and all of a sudden I get a client.
They do marketing.
That has a car wash business. It has nothing to do with anything and they get assigned to that and that's what they do.
Interesting.
But they still have everything there, you know, and I do get requests sometimes to do transfers and, you know, sometimes we might need that person.
First thing, brutal course about policy. Do they get tested?
So I have a test myself and just a couple of secrets to share here, I guess. You know, some of the things that I always ask for anybody that's going through training is you got to come up with 10 questions for me.
They come up with their own test questions?
They come up with their own test questions.
What are some of the questions that they come up with?
So things that they usually don't understand. And it's all very intricate in what we do, and especially for somebody that doesn't speak English as their first language,
right?
There's new terminology everywhere.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, we always said that the policy is written in Chinese to us, so.
There you go. Identification was not in my dictionary.
Identification.
Was not in my dictionary 7 years ago. But, you know, obviously now it is, and that's the point. That's the point of that, right? So that way all these terminology. So usually we get those questions. We get, what does this really mean? A lot of the questions that we always get is, how long do I have to do this? How long does this process take? Why does this take a year?
What do you do? Do you have public adjusters? Are all the public adjusters only located in Florida, or do you have in other states as well?
So Florida right now has been our main market.
Well, get ready, because after this video, you're going to have to train them on Colorado policy, Texas policy, California policy. Well, not policy. A lot of the policies are relatively the same. You've got some different things, but the timelines are all different.
Okay, I'm very interested about
that. The timelines are all different, statutes are different, appraisal language is different. I was talking to Xander, actually, and I was like, dude, if you're ready to go to these other states, understand that the appraisal clause, it's good in some states, and it's really crappy in other states.
Oh, man, this is a whole nother conversation we have to have about this, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's important to understand that at a level. I do understand Georgia. I do have a license.
Georgia's tough. I have one of my adjusters from Georgia, and that's it. That's a school of hard knocks.
It is. After, especially if you
no appraisal, no time limits, nothing.
No statutory fees.
Exactly.
No, so no match clause.
No matching. Yeah.
So
no litigation.
Once you go through a couple of claims in Georgia, you can pretty much go through a claim anywhere.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So first intense class is the policy.
Yeah.
Second intense class is building how to build an estimate, understand an estimate. And then I have written down here, then you get into the foundation My question. So first, everybody has to do those two things first, correct?
100%. Yeah.
Policy and estimate, like that's the first thing that you do.
Part of the Bible.
Then you go into specifics.
Then I go into negotiations.
Oh, okay. Then it's negotiation. How to negotiate.
Yes, absolutely. That's really when we start talking about the claim processing, how to really follow up with the claim and what does it take to, I call it a generally claim negotiating, but obviously we're not really negotiating because we're really just able to follow up with the claim in a deep manner.
Okay. What do you mean, an example?
So what happens a lot is that you might get brushed off. You know, that's usually what happens. And I don't say this in a bad way. You know, there's a lot of claims going on. And there's a lot of people that are busy handling those claims.
Sure.
Period. So you might, if you're not the one calling the desk adjuster to get a response, very rarely they're going to call you to get that claim settled.
Right.
And you know, if you got that call before for an adjuster that gets that claim settled, you know you're going to be talking to that person for the next 2 to 3 days every day.
Right.
And you get a settle right there.
Right.
Know? But that happens probably like 10% of the time. 10%
you have to get their attention.
Always. So that's what I drive to the most there. What we have to do to get this person's attention to have this file in their hand right away so that they can make a decision, or let me make a decision as to what do I have to do to move forward, right? So the VAs get involved at that level to make sure that it gets pushed to that decision, or that the desk adjuster gets pushed to make that decision, whether it's being to talking to their supervisor or whether it's being talking to another of their reps that might sit next to their desk and they're like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Yeah, which has definitely happened before.
What are the things? What's one of the things besides the supervisor? Because that's an obvious one. Are there any other things that you tell them to try to get the attention of the adjuster?
Yeah,
everybody wants to know.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when we look at a firm, we might be looking at volume in different ways. And then if you have probably like 5 cases with that same insurance company.
Okay.
And we have that as part of the database that we have collected for your business, then we're able to call them and let them know, hey, desk adjuster,
we've got these claims.
We got this amount of claims. You know, I know it's tough right now, but we want to get this figured out. Can we do this right away? And sometimes when you do have more than 5 claims or so, you might get transferred to a different department or to a supervisor, and you might be able to get a set of 5 claims in one call.
That's pretty cool. That's a good trick. I like that trick.
Thank you, Universal.
Yeah. First is the policy. Second is building the estimate. Third is negotiation. Then
it's accounts receivable, you know?
Okay. All right. Yeah. Account, so this is making sure that we get paid.
Absolutely. 100%.
This is a problem. A lot of PA firms, and even worse yet, honestly, mitigation companies have a big problem with this.
Absolutely. And you wouldn't think, because they don't even have a mortgage on the check. So it should be easier, right?
I know.
But yeah, it is very complicated. It's super tedious. There's people that tell me that even if I pay them $200 an hour, they still wouldn't deal with the accounts receivable process.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a true fact.
So what do you have them do with accounts receivables? Because let's face it, people already know, right? You have, you know, we have partners and big, huge proponents of Inc.
Yes.
Okay. And I think they've helped our process, obviously, a little bit, virtualizing the whole thing, dealing with the mortgage company, but they have their fees. And they're also limited as well, right? Inc. is also, I mean, you're beholden to the mortgage company ultimately, no matter what. Then the other process that we all obviously use is say, okay, you want to handle it yourself, then send us a check. We'll send you your endorsed check. And then you let us know when it gets deposited. But that's also an issue too, because now we're just following up on a weekly basis with the client. Hey, did you deposit the check? Hey, can we deposit our check? So what are some of the things you guys do to help with accounts receivables?
So this... if there was a bottleneck with estimates, there was definitely a bigger bottleneck with checks
mm-hmm.
when it's really starting coming into the business and understanding what it was.
You know, Ben, right? I became an adjuster in 2009.
Okay.
Dude, when I first started, 2008, 2009, they would write the check without the mortgage company.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And like probably... I don't know, dude, six months after I started. Like, it was like, really, it happened like right when I started. They just decided that, like, I don't know if they passed the law. I forgot what it was. I just remember all of a sudden every check had a mortgage company.
Like, internal rules from the mortgages.
It's like when they stopped the litigation, like, now it was like, boom, like the mortgage company, like, that's it. They're always on the check. And obviously, we all know why. It's because people weren't doing the work. I get it. But it was just funny. Like, I was there. I had just started during that transition of, that's it. So you're used to every check having the mortgage company on it.
Always, yeah. Especially when it's over 10K, 100% secure. So it is something that if you don't have this figured out, forget your cash flow.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So being able to put this together was tough. There's different ways to go about it. 100%. Just, you mentioned a couple just now, you know, if you get an authorization paperwork from
the
client.
You get an authorization from the client, you deal with the mortgage company directly.
You deal with the mortgage directly. That brings its own headaches in itself.
That's it.
100%.
We've tried that too as well. We do that as well sometimes, just to, if that's what the client wants to do. We don't force it, but it's just another option.
Sometimes you get the 90-year-old lady.
Yep.
And then, you know, sometimes they really have no idea what to do. And, you know,
or sometimes you allow the client to do it, and after about 3 months, you get fed up and you get on the phone with the mortgage company and you talk to them like the insurance company and force them to pay.
Try 6 months, just waiting for like 10K or 6K or whatever it is.
Oh, Andrew, we've got in our process, we've got the bucket of like the check process.
Yeah.
Dude, there's some in there that are over 100 days, over 200 days. And it's like, where is this check? What's going on here?
So you hit it right in the nail, actually, just now, because that is really how I put it, as buckets.
Yeah, we have the buckets.
So obviously picture like a Trello in a manner. So this is truly kind of what helps us put it together and really be able to follow up with, you know. At this point, I'm grateful to say that I barely even follow up with the accounts receivable team, which is insane. Like, for me to not have to follow up with that team is, you know, you know what that means.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I'm in a way even disconnected from it at this point, just because they do so good. But obviously, knowing what it is, you know, being able to understand the route that you're taking, whether you have an authorization paper or not, it is something that you have to continuously follow up either with the mortgage or with the client. And you have to be very good at explaining to the client exactly what the process is, because they have no idea what's going to happen. You're going to definitely get the call from either the client, or if you call the mortgage company, to find out that you're going to have to send in an estimate, or you're going to have to send in some type of report for them to release anything. And God forbid they only release 50% of the funds, because then that's going to be another mission. That's going to be another.
Or 33%.
Or 33%.
They release it in thirds.
It's crazy.
The monitor claims. And usually it's because of they're like backed on their mortgage. They're not paying their mortgage, or there was just one little thing that happened.
Yeah. Or maybe sometimes it's just a lot of money.
Or it's just a lot of money.
So
what do you do? I go and I just demand that they send their inspector out.
We do that as well. I mean, most of the time, even nowadays, it's really the authorization paperwork route is not the preferred route for sure. We usually just always let the client handle it, and we help them as much as we can.
So then you guys are really following up with the client, making
most of
sure
the time,
if they need any help, and just at least keeping that going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we do get involved into providing the paperwork, of course, to the client, so that way they have everything there, right? So up to that level, we're able to get everybody. But this is the key part here, and I think you probably even do this right now, setting up the expectations. If you don't set up the expectation with the client as when it comes to the mortgage process and that accounts receivable part of the process, which we're just talking about, like, once you get the check, like, we're not even touching on like getting the release. Sometimes just getting the release alone, it's a while.
The release from the insurance company?
The release from the insurance company. For some reason.
What do you mean? Like,
for some reason, it specifically happens to attorneys. Like,
we don't deal with that though. It's bad. Usually we're negotiating and we have the release.
Usually you do a mediation, you get the release right there on the spot almost, you know. But we do on ourselves with the clients that we have. There is a section that literally now we have to follow up with the whole release, because sometimes that's a month and you still haven't received the release. Mm-hmm. And we have to literally file a motion to get the release out.
Right.
So that's part of the process right there. Obviously now once you get the check, then yes, you know, everything that I just said. We consider the whole accounts receivable team, that whole portion. From the moment that there's an agreement of money, you are responsible to make sure that we get the release 100%, and you are responsible to make sure that checks makes it all the way to the bank.
Got it.
Yeah, it's heavy.
All right, so listen, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-freaking-brainer to use your services, Andrew, just because... I mean, dude, from the second I met you at the Papia, right?
Yeah.
At the Papia, I was just like, wait, this is just too good. The best businesses are the ones that solve really particular pain points, and this is one of them. All right, so to close off everything, though, I'm going to take it back. Policy training, building an estimate training, negotiation training, accounts receivable training. And then I have it in here because you mentioned it, but also some marketing as well, right?
Yes. Yes, we are a virtual assistant agency.
Right.
And we're able to do different things for the same businesses that we're already dealing with. And just like sometimes claim management is a problem in itself, sometimes getting claims is a problem in itself. And I've met all type of characters where you're really good at one thing and not so good at the other, which is great because, you know, identifying your strength is super important in general. And we help you wherever those strengths lack, literally. So if you have a really good claim management process and you already have that figured out, but you really don't have an acquisition team, then, you know, we can set you up with an acquisition team. We have people that are trained on marketing, train on the same training that everybody goes through for the first month, and they're able to talk claims with anybody.
And so, like, for me, I would say we get leads in, right? And sometimes they're hot leads or they're warm leads, but we still need more information so that our next bucket after the leads is we'll get a lead in our lead board, and maybe we just have a name and an address. Mm. I would use your services to reach out and say, hey, where's the damage? Who's your insurance company? Can you send us a copy of your insurance policy? What rooms were damaged? How severe is the damage? Have you had any previous claims? Like, get all that stuff to put it into the consultation bucket, which is where I would call, or one of our licensed adjusters would call, to ultimately determine, get the contract signed, and then move the claim along.
That's beautiful. You're definitely talking about some of the things that we do on the intake process.
Got it.
Because the intake process.
So then what are you talking about, sales and marketing?
So we're touching on both right now, pretty much at that level, because you're doing the acquisition. And once you finish that acquisition and you actually get the contract signed period, then you have to make sure that you have a workflow literally established for your intake process.
For sure.
Because that's how you really identify from a perspective of how good this claim is in general, to make sure that you know where you can put your effort to move this forward.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know? So the better you do this intake process and ask all the questions that you said, and probably even more, the more you're gonna be able to perform as a either public adjuster or desk adjuster that's handling the claim. So
for sure.
That intake process in itself, it's something that is important to have.
Yeah. No one can pitch like that.
I definitely get that. Like, if you knock on my door, we're gonna be talking for a little.
Dude, Andrew, honestly, man, thank you for coming on. Like, I really appreciate it. Did I miss anything? Is there anything that I missed? Hold on, let me see. We've got the whole training, which is my favorite part. The checks, accounts receivable is a big one. But I know we were talking about claim follow up. Real quick before we close out, another way that I think you guys could really help. Which is if you're a volume company, okay, if you're a one person shop like I was for so long, it's easy to provide excellent customer service. Very easy to provide 100. I call it 100% customer service.
Like, you have 30 claims.
Yeah, 30 or even 50 claims. Like, you know, like, again, and I've always been very good with my clients, so it's good. But as soon as we started to scale.
Yeah.
And I no longer handled all of the claims and had other people handling the claim. Whether it's my fault for not training them correctly, that's a whole other story, right? But what happened was, I noticed, is the more volume you have, the more claims you have, the more crazy it gets, especially after an Irma or what was the one that we just had?
Yep.
Ian. It's just so much. What ends up happening is that customer service just goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
But with some VAs that could specialize and practice that. I know that you hit on customer service before we actually started.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to follow up with the claim.
Not just follow up with the claim, but follow up with the customer too.
You got it 100%. It's part of the foundational process that you should have as an adjuster to make sure that if you're here for the long term.
Even if you have no news sometimes is better than crickets.
Crickets, 100%. And that's 90% of the industry, right?
Unfortunately.
So what's going on is that we look at things from perspective on a rotation level, really, you know? So once you understand the volume that you're dealing with and the claims that are being processed through the firm specifically, then it kind of gives you an idea as to how can you make sure that you follow up with every client, and how long is that going to take you? Do I have 100 clients? Do I have 500 clients? Do I have 1,000 clients? And what is the team that I need to make sure that I'm touching on everything in a 30-day level, 60-day level, or in a 90-day level?
Interesting. You
know, it really depends on the volume and the type of team that you're adding into that process, but we call it a rotation. And at that rotation point, then we're able to really go through literally every claim that you have open from A to C, and really be able to maintain that in a manner where now you can have actual customer service, be able to call the person up, because now you know you're following up with every claim every 30 days. You know every 30 days somebody's gonna get a call.
Right.
If you have a team that's going deeper into everything and the team is actually taking 2 weeks, then now you can make a call every 2 weeks to that same client. Just like you said, whether it's crickets or for whatever reason you want to call them, you want to make sure
they want to hear a voice
every time.
Until we get AI to do the follow up for us,
hey,
which we talked about earlier.
You know, well, it'll get there for sure. It'll get there. You know, we'll have some fun with it. There's nothing like a human connection at the end of the day, especially if you get those person that really want to talk to you.
Yeah, but if like, you know, we were talking earlier, and I had the last video that I showed in the channel was different ways to use AI. And I basically listed 3 ways that we're using AI now and 3 ways that I still want to. And it was the bots that we were talking about earlier. Like if you could prompt it and teach it, right? Mm. To give a proper follow-up, you know, I think it would probably reduce that follow-up. If it's really done well, I think it could probably reduce it by half, because you're gonna have those people that, as long as it's an up-to-date, you know, they're probably going to still want to talk to somebody, but as long as it's as up to date it is, that'll cut it down, I think.
Yeah, I think it might even cut it down to 70% even.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because you, obviously in general, just after dealing with like over 10,000 claims period, like I do consider more like usually 60%, 70% is the type of people that might call you within a month or might call you within 2 months, just see what's going on. But then you really get those specific people that call you every day.
Always.
And I think that's, even though it might seem like that's more of the people, it's usually not really. It's usually like 30% of the whole crowd, in average.
So it's a topic that I love to discuss, and I'm going to start bringing it up probably more and more. What are some of the things that maybe you're, what are some of the things that you're using AI related now in our business, and that where you sort of see it, some of the different ways that we could use AI besides those bots? What are some of the ways you're using it now?
Yeah. So I think mainly because we focus a lot in structure. I think in general, when it comes to scripting, when it comes to making sure that we have detailed scenarios of how things can go down, is definitely one of the most important key points when it comes to AI in general. Like no matter what your business is, whether it's a virtual assistant agency, a public adjusting, like you want to be able to have for whoever is trying to talk to you to be able to go through, right? And by setting up that branch, maybe, of conversation, those key data points, those if statements all around, you're gonna be able to input that into some type of chatbot or into some type of AI solution, whether it be phone, voice call, or whether it be a text message, where any questions that you get asked, they're gonna be able to get answered automatically. Are we going that way? Absolutely, 100%.
For sure.
Are we there yet? No, but I think that's really the stage that we're going through right now. All this data that we have in Web 2 maybe, it's now going into this Web 3 scenario, and now all of these things are gonna get answered with some of the specific knowledge that we have, and nobody else really has this type of knowledge, so we're pioneers.
I think we're close to, I think we're about a year away from it being able to potentially build an estimate for us.
That would be very interesting. I would love to see how that works.
I know a couple of public adjusters that have told me about estimate comparisons. So okay. They'll upload, copy paste, upload the insurance company, the carrier estimate, mm-hmm. and the PA estimate, mm-hmm. and ask it to identify the differences.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
How cool is that?
That's amazing. I mean, I'm pretty sure you've done this before as well.
I have not. I have not. This is just what I keep hearing.
No, but I think what you've done maybe, and I'm assuming this.
I do it myself. Yeah, you have 2 screens. You have to look at it. You put an Excel spreadsheet. I have one of my girls. She puts an Excel spreadsheet, and she lists all the differences so that she can see it in front of her.
Gotcha. Yeah, I kind of dictate it. I dictate it to the bot itself, and then I dictate both scenarios, and then, you know, you get some type of reply and response that guides you.
Really?
And especially if you know what you're looking for in the type of conversation you want to have with the desk adjuster.
What about uploading a policy and asking it to interpret maybe a specific thing?
It will. I mean, so what I've done close to that is when it comes to some of the attorney clients that I have, I've had to identify stuff that I didn't go for attorney school for
sure
whatsoever, right? and that it has helped me develop things that, you know, I think they're just not being used just because it's maybe fundamental knowledge for them. But
yeah,
at this level, from a BA perspective, for us to be able to understand where to take the claim from different spots, like, you know, who's going to know what emotion is and where they come from and what do they mean? You know?
Right.
And then there's like 12 different type of emotions for everything. So it's very helpful, and it's gonna make a change on everybody's life. 100%.
Well, Andrew, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you so much.
We're going to leave all the information below. You'll have all the contact information. You're going to be seeing a lot of Andrew and Turbo Workforce here. Honestly, it's a no-brainer. You're going to want to schedule a time to speak with Andrew, because let him explain all the services, the prices, and all that stuff to you, because I'm going to tell you right now, it's a no-brainer. Especially if you're a one-man shop, but obviously if you're a company like ours, which we struggle, I'm not gonna lie, we just have too much. It's just too much. It gets messy, and I don't like that. I don't like messy. It really bothers me. I lose sleep at night.
Yeah, I can tell you one of the things that has happened in some of the offices that we have help around is that sometimes the business owner in itself, it's able to do very well, but at the same time spend so much to keep everything going that some of the other people in the firm actually start making more money than the actual owner himself.
Oh yeah.
So we have literally made a difference on that, because we're able to put a lot of processes in place. You're able to
free up the owner to go sign claims and do what they do best. Yeah, I mean, it happens to me. I'm not gonna lie.
That's what it's all about.
I had a couple ballers in the company that have done pretty well.
And I see it. I do see it, and I believe it. And this is where this really alleviates a lot of, specifically for the business owner.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, I'm excited to have you on board here. I'm excited to have you on the show here. And
I really appreciate you for your time, man.
I appreciate you too. I look forward to you really. You know, everything I do with the CCA side is really just to give back to the industry that's given to me so much. So when I meet people like you, and in particular services that you're providing like this, that I know is a game changer in the industry, I'm like super excited about it. So
awesome, man. I'm super excited too.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right.